Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, online, ratpacksports.com. Also, the Rat Pack Radio, WRPR app. We are in the building Wednesday night. Wednesday night, bring you the best there is in sports talk and entertainment. We are the Rat Pack Sports Show. And we should have Mr. William Graves here calling in a little bit. And, you know, during the break, like I say, I watch these shows. We have AEW on the screen. And I just saw something that's pretty cool, man. I don't know. I'm going to have to look this lady up. But this lady here that's in the ring looks like a heart. Like a heart family member. She's dressed in the all pink, like Bret Hart. And she's going ham on. Oh my gosh. Now they gonna bring the referees down there. Man, come on now. Y'all can't break that lady up. She's a wrestler, man. Just who is Jerry Lynn? I think she's some kin to the Hearts. She looks like a Hart. She looks like Bret Hart. I mean, not Bret Hart. Yeah, Bret Hart. Let me see. What is her name? No, that's Deb. Serena Deb. Let's look her up. Let's go ahead and Google. Use Google on her. Serena Deb. Serena Deb. Let's see. I mean, she's dressed in the all pink, so you don't see many like that. Let's see here. She's known for her first stint appearing on. Let's see who is her people. It doesn't say anything here about her being related to the Hearts. But she kind of has that look of a heart. Let's see. Nah, she's not. Cause if she was, it'd be on her player profile. I don't see anything here. But she was applying that sharpshooter, you know, that was Owen Hart's signature move, the sharpshooter. And she's dressed in the all pink, so I figured, you know, maybe she could have been related to him, but I don't think she is. I haven't seen anything here that says she's in any relation to him. Maybe Owen Hart is like, you know, or the Hart Foundation is like major, you know, influences in her wrestling style. Maybe it could be something like that. But that's all. I don't see anything. So. Kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but that's all right. But let's get into some more action here. Let's get a score update of the game here. Up four, okay, 5-1 Astros in the top of the fourth. Still a lot of game left. So that's a good thing. You know, the Braves got a lot of hitting, so they are not out of this. Got some news here, though. Let's go to the NFL real quick. So, what the? All right, so I just saw this. So former Washington football team employees reject NFL stance and says, attorney for the former Washington football team employees reject NFL stance, says clients want investigation findings released. Now, this is all dated back to, you know, everything that went down with John Gruden and him losing his job and being forced out from the Raiders for something that he said in a private, and I'll continue to say this, a private email to Bruce Allen, who was employed by the Washington, at that time, Redskins. So the NFL were conducting an investigation on Washington, and they stumbled along these emails between John Gruden and Bruce Allen. Well, these emails, everybody know the story right now. You've heard the context of these emails. Me personally, they don't bother me, but that's you know, I'm not making a decision. But he made some comments about some things. Made some comments about a few people, Roger Goodell, Demoris Smith, and he made some comments on a couple other situations. And now there were 65, they say 65,000 emails. No, 650,000 emails. This investigation was on Washington, not John Gruden. But from that, you heard nothing else of these emails or why they were investigating Washington. So you mean to tell me, and I made this statement a few weeks ago, you mean to tell me out of 650,000 emails, the worst thing that you could find was something John Gruden said that weren't even pertaining to your investigation on why you was even looking into the Washington email database. So my opinion, my thoughts on this is Danes, they're not saying something. John Gruden is being used as a scapegoat and a cover-up. There's something else going on in those emails that they don't want to get talked about. So they threw everything on Gruden. And you notice, after all that went down with Gruden, the stories just disappeared. They hadn't really talked about it. Well, there's some pressure being applied to the NFL saying, hey, we want these other emails to go to be public so we can see what else was in there. Because people starting to question, well, if you was investigating Washington, how did John Gruden get thrown in this just because you found some emails from him? What else did you find? They won't release what else they found. So apparently, if it was nothing, they would go ahead and release it. So you know, I'm thinking they found something and they don't want it to get out, so they just like, you know what, we're going to throw this on Gruden, sacrificial lamb, and we're going to move on. But there are some people that is not allowing Roger Goodell in the NFL front office to move on, and I agree. Because somebody lost their job over this. You know, lost their job, lost their career, and the people you was really looking for, they just, nothing happened. I mean, obviously, come on now. So, it was a year-long investigation. A year-long investigation of them looking into this stuff from Washington. After a whole year, all you found was John Gruden. I highly doubt that. Why were you investigating them? What were you looking for in those emails? They're not explaining any of this. At all. And this was an investigation on the organization and the owner, Daniel Snyder. There was apparently 40 women who made allegations of sexual harassment while working for Washington. They wanted only protection. They wanted the findings released. The letter stated, while many who came forward feel retaliation by Dan Snyder and therefore requested their names be kept confidential, so apparently some of these people still work within the organization. They never envisioned that all of their efforts and the efforts of Beth Wilkinson and her team would result in no written report or findings. This is what I'm talking about. Like, they threw it off on John Gruden, but there's nothing, no written report or findings of what else was in those emails. So I've been saying this from day one. John Gruden was the scapegoat. He was the scapegoat to take the attention off of what they was really looking for, and they just maybe thought after John Gruden, after this happened, that it'll just go away. But there was a real investigation going on about the Washington and their business practices, things that they were doing that they were getting reported to the league. So let's see it. Open the books, open the email database, so everybody can see what was in there. Then we can figure out for ourselves if John Gruden got what he deserved. Oh, you know, deserve what he got. That's what I mean. Because me personally, he was just talking to Bruce Allen on a personal level. Him and Bruce Allen, the boys, they've been friends for a long time. They just happened to be emailing each other back and forth, you know, having their discussions. So he said some stuff. So what? He said some stuff. He was upset about some stuff. He said some stuff to Bruce Allen 10 years ago. Who freaking cares? Like, really? So they made a big deal about it. Sports media, you know, social media, you know, they make a big deal about it. And then all of a sudden, boom, John Gruden is out in Oakland. Even Al Davis is speaking out saying, hey, I need to see something, because I'm telling you right now, not Al Davis, but I forget his name, Davis, you know, the son of Al Davis. He didn't want to fire John Gruden. They was too close. They had a great relationship, and those emails didn't have anything to do with the Oakland or the Las Vegas Raiders. So why would this man have to fire his coach? And he literally didn't do anything worthy of being fired from the Raiders because what y'all talking about happened. Why this man wasn't even employed by the league? He was retired and working for ESPN at the time. So I truly think that the NFL came down and forced Davis to fire John Gruden. I don't think he wanted to fire him. That's just my opinion. And once again, I don't even know what actions was taken against them. I mean, let's see here. It says Beth Wilkerson, who provided a verbal report to the NFL of her findings, but no written report. There were 150 people interviewed during this investigation. The NFL fined Washington $10 million for its toxic workplace culture. Snyder said at the time that he would step aside from the day-to-day operations of franchise in favor of his wife, Tanya. So let me see here. It says, now you got another report. It says the Las Vegas Raiders owner Mark Davis says people deserve a written report. Hey, he had to force his – he was forced to fire his head coach. You think he going to put pressure on the league? Listen, Mark Davis ain't no different from his dad. So he going to speak up. You know what I'm saying? He going to speak up. So he finna force the NFL to put this information out because, you know what I'm saying, he had to fire his coach over this. Include racism. Racist and misogynistic language. Yeah, whatever. Message between Gruden, who was employed by ESPN, and then Washington football team Bruce Allen, cover part of a NFL investigation into work placement conduct within the Washington organization. Okay. I guess, you know, a private conversation. It's got nothing to do with Washington. John Gruden wasn't even employed by them. So NFL said that more than 650,000 emails that were reviewed. John Gruden emails were the only ones with such nature. The league did an oral. Only an oral report on his findings, not a written one. That's bull crap, man. That is bull crap. And I'm reading this article from ESPN, by the way. I'm on the ESPN website. Paul Gutierrez, ESPN staff writer, has wrote this piece. You got to do a written report, bro. It's an investigation. Why would you do an investigation and not do a written report and just do an oral review of your findings and nothing written? That to me, that smell like something. That smell like some bull crap. Like you trying to hide some stuff and not put it down on paper, because if you put it down on paper, it's gonna come back and backfire on you. That's what I'm thinking. Again, I could be wrong, but that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. Cody Rhodes is in the ring apologizing because he got to Hollywood. I know it's all an act, but whatever. O.R. Anderson. Don't do nothing stupid, Cody. No, he finna do something. Who is this? Who is this dude? So is the fight finna go down or not? All right, so then I'm back to this report. Roger Goodell. See, this is why I'm going to continue to stay on this, and I'm going to continue to say John Gruden was a scapegoat, and they're hiding something. The league only did an oil report on his findings, not a real one. And the commissioner, Mr. Roger Goodell, who John Gruden had some very choice words about, and I think a lot of people agree with what he said about Mr. Roger Goodell, because a lot of people don't like him. Said Tuesday that the report would not be released. Well, if you're not going to release the report on John Gruden, then why you felt the need to release this man emails? Who leaked the private emails? It had to be somebody in the NFL front office, because the investigation was going on by the NFL front office, right? That's what I'm thinking. So they had these things leaked. Somebody on the inside leaked this stuff. Dang. Who is this dude? Pack, Malachi Pack, or whatever his name is. Well, what he finna do? Oh, that's Malachi Black. So, all right, so I got some stuff I'm going to say about AEW. I mean, I like them. I like the direction they're going in and everything, but I got some things I'm gonna say on them in a little bit. But Al Davis asked if he felt singled out, and or targeted in an investigation of one of the franchises that cost another franchise, his franchise, his coach. And he said, we're the Raiders. Davis said, we're used to this. And yeah, they are. The NFL and the Raiders don't necessarily get along ownership-wise, because Al Davis was a trailblazer. He did what he wanted to, and he didn't care about what the league was talking about, because Al Davis just did what he wanted to do. So the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Mark Davis is just like his father. So he says, we're used to this, and this is what our life is about. But it's disappointing. Basically, he's saying yes. In a more political term, without saying yes, he's saying yes. I feel like we was targeted and singled out because XYZ. The long history of the Raiders in the NFL. Al Davis challenged the NFL on quite a few occasions, legally, and won. So there's not a good, you know, relationship with the Raiders and Raiders ownership and the NFL front office, especially with Goodell. Al Davis had some choice words to say about Roger Goodell quite a few occasions. So that's that. And as I said, when Mark Davis came out, when this thing first went down, and he said, when he was asked, and his comment was, "I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers." Basically, he's saying, hey, it wasn't my call. The NFL put pressure on him to get rid of Gruden, but yet when people put pressure on the NFL to release his findings, Mr. Roger Goodell comes out and says, we will not be releasing a report. You don't have a report, bro. You didn't do a written report. You did a verbal report. So technically, you don't have a report because you didn't do a written one. You did an oral report. Then he said the fact that they may have known about it a couple of months beforehand and didn't let us know, this was a jab at the Raiders. The Raiders first got hand of these emails in the phone call from the Wall Street Journal reporter on October 7th. Shoot. By October 9th, this man was fired. You know what I'm saying? And this thing caught like wildfire. I said it before. It is not a racist remark to take a jab at somebody because we see comedians do this all the time. You know, so telling somebody that's black that they got a big nose is not racist. You got a big nose. Hey, Scottie Pippen had a big nose. I mean, your boy from Digital Underground had a big nose. I got a big nose. If somebody looked at me and said, man, you got a big nose. Your nose looked like a, you know, I forget what John Gruden said, but if somebody made a comment to me that John Gruden made about DeMora Smith's nose, the first thing that come to my mind ain't going to be, oh, that person is a racist. We got to stop doing that. We got to stop throwing around, like, you know, all these terms just because somebody say something about this and that subject or that topic. You know, we got to put a label on them and say this. No, man, listen. You know, based on my beliefs, I had people. This is where our new show that is coming to the network, Breaking Bread, we will dive deep into all these topics because I don't really want to get into them here on the Rat Pack Sports Show because it's they're not really sports related. But I'll just say this. Due to my beliefs, personally and politically, I've had people that was close to me. I say was because after they made these comments, I no longer deal with these clowns. But people I've known a long time that called me out as some of the labels that everybody using these days. And for some of those people that know me, I don't fit none of those labels because they know me and they know my background. They know my family. They know my people. I don't fit those. But some have the need to get social media strong or social media gangster. I'll put it in those terms and say some stuff on, you know, on social media to sound cool. But you ain't gonna pick up the phone and say it. So, main more to the story is a statement, a comment on something don't make a person to be labeled whatever you think that they comments might offend or may need. You don't know these people. Like, you don't know me. I can make a comment about something. Don't call me a racist. Don't call me, you know, sellout. Don't call me a coon. Don't call me a Uncle Tom. Bro, I could go on and on. And a lot of these people, like I said, a lot of these people I know personally. And I can literally pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, what's going on, bro? And a lot of this is the day and age that we live in. Everybody's offended. Everybody's feelings are hurt. You can't speak honestly with people because when you say things, and because of the climate, the social climate of today's world, everything got a label on it, and it's like you can't do that. You know, you can't have a double standard and say, well, he can't say that because he's a white guy, and then you turn on the TV and you got a comedian or an actress or a musician or, you know, somebody else, and they can say the same thing, but you can say, well, it's okay for them because of this and because of that, but then you turn around and say, the next person said, oh, well, they, you know, they're racist or they're misogynist or they this or they that. And it's like, come on, man. You can't do that. And I feel like that's what happened with John Gruden. This man been an NFL coach his whole life, pretty much. His whole life. He grew up in the league. He was one of the youngest coaches to ever coach on a professional level. He's dealt with, you know, he's been a coach in the league that's been predominantly majority black and minority forever. Not forever, because there was a time where, you know, they weren't allowed to play on the same field. But in the last 40 years, the league has been heavily leaning toward towards blacks and minorities dominating the rosters. So you can't just come out and call that man racist just because you don't like what that man said. Nah, I ain't stupid. You can have racist people, anywhere. But I don't believe John Gruden one of them. He might have said some stuff. John Gruden's a firecracker. I mean, the man, you call him Chucky. His nickname was Chucky. He looked like Chucky. And if you ever watch this man's lips, when they pan the cameras towards him on the sideline, if you read his lips, do you know this man got a potty mouth? So, I mean, I don't know, man. I think people just too sensitive these days. That's what I think. But This thing is going to drag on. I feel like Al Davis is going to want some answers. There's a lot of people that was involved in this, in these interviews, in this investigation, that's going to want some answers. Roger Goodell is going to try to, as long as he, you know, I feel like as long as these people are putting pressure on the league, that they're going to want answers. They're going to want answers, man. And we'll see. But, you know, he said the Raiders have always stood for diversity, inclusion, and social justice. I don't like that word, social justice. I really don't. I think that's political theater. I mean, I know a lot of people. I ain't gonna say I know a lot of people, but through the years, I know there's been real movements in urban neighborhoods and in minority areas for true social justice, for things that go on a day-to-day basis that get ignored. So when I hear that, and I look and see what that stands and the face behind that and what all went on to deal with, you know, with that, I don't like it, because I always say this, you can't ignore one thing. We can't push for one thing and ignore the other. In this situation, I feel like there's a lot of people that are being ignored, that's been screaming out for justice in their neighborhoods, in their in their worlds, in their cities, in their, you know, where they grew up at for a long time, and they get ignored. But then there's political movements, and they use these slogans and all that stuff get front and center news, and the real problems get ignored. So, again, I can go deep in the depth on this. I don't, but this is part of this article. So I just figured I'd throw it out there. And he says it's in our DNA. David said, I've never seen John exhibit any of these negative things in practice with the Raiders. He's no longer the coach of the Raiders. It was something that had to be done. It didn't represent what the Raiders stand for. That is political theater for, I had to do it because the league was putting pressure on me. I don't believe for one second that Davis wanted to fire John Gruden. I don't. But the Raiders are playing, you know, they're playing better. They want to have a good season either way under Gruden, but, you know, Rich Bisaccia, former Buccaneer, he's got these guys playing good football, and they're 5-2 atop of the AFC West. So I think what Davis should do is just let Bisaccia, you know, coach out this season. And if he does a good enough job, just give him a job, man. The man has done his time in the league as a special team coach. There's a history of special team coaches that get head coaching jobs and do well, because with special teams, you deal with the whole team. It's special teams. So everybody on the team plays special teams. So if you can handle special teams well and get these guys motivated and pumped up to go out there for one play and give everything they got, then you got a good job of talking to these guys as a whole and getting them to believe in you and trust your word from a head coaching, standpoint. So I say if I'm Davis, I'm not looking for a coach because you may have the guy right here under you. I know John Gruden was an offensive coordinator, so I'm not sure who's running the offense. I know it's the same offense. You're not going to change offenses in the middle of a season, but whatever offense they're running, they're doing a good job of just continuation. You know what I'm saying? Just they're not breaking stride. So that team is back, you know, got behind Rich Bisaccia, and they've played some good football the last 2 weeks, and they're probably the best team in the AFC West. I don't care what KFC is doing. They look trash right now, and they have the worst defense in the league, and your quarterback is turning the ball over like Jameis Winston was with the Buccaneers. So they got a lot of things to, you know, deal with and take care of. But I like to see Rich Bisaccia get a fair shake. And if he does well and the Raiders makes the playoffs, give him that head coaching job, man. Don't go out there and get you a new head coach who's going to come in and probably shake up the coaching roster. It's continuation. So if Bisaccia is doing good, you don't need a head coach. You let Bisaccia could be the head coach and the special teams coach. I'm pretty sure he's doing that right now. Or he'll appoint somebody to do it. So you know, you got Mike Mayock there, who you know, since he's come excuse me, got some in my throat. But since Mike Mayock has been with the Raiders have done nothing but go up. And I, you know, Mike Mayock, I missed that dude from the draft shows. He was a great mind. And the guy has been in the front office before, and you can tell he knows his stuff. So Raiders, they're in a good spot, man. The Raiders are in a good spot. And, you know, it sucks what happened to John Gruden, but they did a great job with that roster. And they have a very, very good coaching staff over there to maintain continuity of that team and continue on with their, you know, with the success that they've done so far in the league. So let's see here. Also, it says Al Davis spoke of rash of resignations in the organization finance department. Don't know any of these people. Yeah, so that is that. What is going on here? So yeah, so you know, that's my opinion on this whole article here. You know, the whole situation with Gruden. I'm sure it won't be the last time that I discuss this. It's going to be an ongoing topic. So. We'll touch on these things as they come. We will have, I'm not sure if Boss Hogg is going to be on tonight because, you know, he's still dealing with, COVID. And, so when we get into our NFL, hour here in about 15 minutes, We will jump on that. Let me see something here, cause I ain't. Let me see something here. Yeah, so I'm going to send out another message to my guys. Let me see if Boss Hog is going to be on. Just to make sure, I'm not sure because I haven't really spoke to him today, but we'll see. Hopefully he can. If not, then we'll get into some fantasy football. Anyway, we're gonna talk about week eight matchups. And we'll get into the Rat Pack Sports Show Fantasy Football League. We'll get into that as well. So we got about, 15 minutes before we have to take our next break. Until then, I will continue talking. Okay, so let's see here. Oh, we have a trade here in the NFL. The Texans have traded Mark Ingram back to the New Orleans Saints. So his tenure only lasted about a year and a half, and he ended up back in New Orleans. Him and Alvin Kamara had a great combination of speed and power. And Kamara is great. Kamara is great, but you always need two backs. You know what I'm saying? You always need two backs, and with those two, you got a formidable backfield. Both guys are great in the passing game, and they complement each other well. New Orleans Saints, probably – adjusting to life without Drew Brees, because you can't be that passing team that you used to be. James Winston is not Drew Brees. And James Winston, the more he steps back, the more opportunities you give him to throw the ball, the mistakes, The more chances that you're going to give him to make a bad play. So, I understand what Sean Payton is doing. And I don't know if he's going to play this week, because this week New Orleans plays here. I'm not sure. Might be a road game, but they'll be playing Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's going to be an interesting division matchup. I'm not jumping the gun. I told you guys, man, division matchups to me, because of the familiarity with each other's roster and playbook, you just don't know. In the Saints, defensively, the Saints still are very good on the defensive side of the ball. So they know us. They're familiar with us. Last season, we took our worst loss of the season at the hands of the New Orleans Saints. So I'm not saying nothing. Only thing that I hope that don't happen, and there's a good chance that it will, because our secondary is straight up trash, and I'll say that, is Jameis comes in and he gashes us in the secondary. And that very well could happen because our secondary is not healthy, and we got a lot of young guys playing in our secondary. And from that standpoint, you know what I'm saying, you just don't know. So I'm not even going to make any Jameis Winston predictions like I see in a lot of these Buccaneer fan groups. We had Tom Brady last year, and they beat us 38-3, I think. 35-3, 38-3, you know, something like that. So it's very possible that the Saints could come into town, or we can go into New Orleans and take one on the chin. Because, again, Jameis Winston has had a lot of productive games in the NFL. He's done some good things. He can throw the ball. So if he comes in feeling good and our secondary don't give him any resistance, and you bring back Ingram, you got Alvin Kamara in the backfield together, you got a little bit of problem on your hands. So I'm not over-assuming anything. I'm not over-analyzing anything. I'm just going to wait, sit around and wait till game day and sit in front of the TV and cheer on my team. Actually, I don't even cheer anymore, man. You know, I don't know if you guys heard this story. I was a diehard. That's a favorite word, was. That's the key word, was. I was one of these fanatical, diehard fans. You know, I go to the game, stand up. You know, me and the wife, we had season tickets for quite a bit. Scream and yell my behind off every week. And this was during the Raheem Morris, Josh Freeman era. And I was a huge Raheem Morris fan. I was a huge Jerry McCoy fan, a huge Warren Sapp fan. And I was a huge Josh Freeman fan. And, you know, after all that went down with Freeman and I saw how the organization, or not really the organization, but the coach at the time, which, hey, it is on the organization because the Glazers, you know, allowed it. So I saw what happened to Freeman. I saw how, you know, he was set up for failure when Greg Schiano came in and drafted freaking Mike Glennon and was talking about how great Mike Glennon was in training camp and talking about how he tried to go and recruit Mike Glennon out of high school. But Mike Glennon said, no, I'm not going to freaking Rutgers. I'd rather go to NC State. So Greg Schiano saw it as an opportunity to go get his freaking high school recruit. Well, when he saw that he could get his high school recruit, Josh Freeman is like, what, I think two or three years into the league, one of the up-and-coming quarterbacks in football at that point. And he was. I'm not even exaggerating. Was one of the leaders in the NFL in comeback victories. Had all the potential in the world. Showed it on a week-to-week basis. Making plays with his legs, making plays with his arm. He was a perfect dual-threat quarterback. And at 250-plus pounds, he was running a 4.5, 4.6 40 and was just killing it. He was killing it, man. Under Raheem Morris, Josh Freeman was putting everything together. On the team, that didn't have a whole lot of talent outside of Kellen Winslow and Mike Williams. That's all we had. That's all we had in a pretty good offensive line. You know, he was good. And then Greg Schiano came in, and I watched how slowly killed that man's career. And once Josh Freeman was released, and all that, you know, hoopla went on with him being released and Greg Schiano, and I lost a little bit of that spark during that time for my team. I was real upset with the Glazers for letting that clown like Greg Schiano come here and, like, you know, destroy what could have been franchise quarterback. And he had some of his own issues he was dealing with, but I felt like with the proper head coach here, you know, they would have been able to, you know, get through to him and help him keep himself keep himself into the game. I just feel like Greg Schiano didn't help Josh Freeman because he wasn't thinking about Josh Freeman. He just wanted Mike Glennon to be the guy. And during training camp, you know, watching Mike Glennon, watching Mike Glennon during training camp get first team reps, and you're a rookie quarterback that was drafted in, I want to say, the third or the fourth round, and you in training camp taking first team reps, taking reps away from the starter. And then when we get in games in the preseason, Freeman struggling because he ain't getting the chemistry that he need, because you got the backup quarterback taking Freeman reps away from him. And you were in the press conference talking about, you know, Josh Freeman needs to be better. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. How in the world can somebody build chemistry? How can somebody be better when your starting quarterback ain't even taking first team reps? Your backup quarterback taking first team reps, and your starter sitting over there throwing the football on the sideline to the fourth string receivers. And you wonder why that man was struggling. And you was never confident in him. You drafted a guy basically saying that this is the future. You weren't gonna get the best out of him. But when that happened, like I said, when that happened, I was pissed, man. I was pissed. Not just me. A lot of people was pissed. And obviously, from that point, you know, Josh Freeman's career kind of went downhill. But it was over by that. It was over by then. The man had no confidence. He got thrown in the game on a Monday night when he had just signed with the team after being released from the Bucks. They put Minnesota playing on Monday night, and he's the starting quarterback. Don't even know the playbook. I just felt like that whole time, the NFL just screwed that man. Screwed him. And I wasn't, that's what I was saying that whole time on that situation. That's what I was saying. But now with Brady, I don't even yell anymore. It's like, why am I yelling? This should be expected. Like, you know, we're up 35-6 or whatever last week on the Bears, or 3 or whatever the score was, and it just touchdown. I'm just sitting there like, you know, not surprised. But not saying that I'm not still a diehard fan. I am, but that's when I kind of, you know, took a step back and realized that when a team don't want you, they'll figure out a way to get rid of you. And that's, you know, that's kind of what happened in that situation there. All right, so where we're at. We got about, actually, we're at an hour now. So we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back on the other side, continue the show, and we're going to continue the topic of NFL talk as well. So with that being said, this is Rat Pack Sports Show. We will be right back.